You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Previously on Podcasterole.
Glomer is one of the most underrated cartoon characters of all time.
Some call Glomer the Jar Jar of the PBU, you know. I haven't stepped foot inside of a Subway since, really.
And neither is Jared.
It's true.
You're over at my home every week. Is there a meth lab here?
Not a big one.
I choose him, the one called Kirk. I'm freaking James D. Kirk.
Find out more about Podcasterole now on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. And don't forget adamandjp.com and the ESO Network.
ESO Pro Wrestling Roundtable. ESO Pro Wrestling Roundtable. Wrestling is awesome. It's hit by a chair and thrown on the ropes, rallying up the ladder. Stop the damn match. 1, 2, 3.
ESO Pro
Wrestling Roundtable.
ESO
Pro Wrestling Roundtable.
ESO.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hey, cats and kittens. I know, I am not your normal host, John Morgan Neal. I am, however, your producer and co-host, Richard Yule. And you are listening to episode 70 of the Pro Wrestling Roundtable. We have a really great show for you tonight. If you listened to the last episode, you know there was a little bit of controversy. And we have decided to move forward, and hopefully things will mend themselves. So let's see how that goes tonight. We are going to be talking about the Royal Rumble that recently happened, and give our thoughts and opinions. And also, this episode is going to be dedicated to the ladies. That's right. We like to talk about all aspects of wrestling, and we certainly cannot forget about the women. They are doing some spectacular things these days in the ring, so it is going to be a fun conversation. And after all, they had their Women's Royal Rumble, so we'll talk about all that, too. I will be joined tonight by Wrestling with Pop Culture's Jonathan Williams, and he is bringing us an exclusive interview yet again. We will be talking to recent Ring of Honor, Women of Honor signee, Deonna Purrazzo, and she has also been seen in Impact Wrestling, NXT, maybe on some Raw and SmackDown episodes here and there. So we're going to talk to her and get her opinion on how those events happened. And then we're going to just discuss her career. And it's a lovely conversation. Then we will move on to the main subject. And it will be Jonathan and myself discussing the women in wrestling in our opinion and how far they've come and who are our favorites and just a good old-fashioned conversation. So if you'd like to ever give us your feedback, you can follow us on Twitter, and that is at PodcastPWR. Also, the Earth Station One Network that we were a part of has a brand new Patreon. That's right. You can support that, and you will be supporting us as well as getting some fantastic exclusive podcasts. So please go to Patreon, type in Earth Station One, and support. Give any amount of money. You can just donate. You don't even have to get anything in return if you don't want. So that would really help us out to help them out. And that's all I've got for the introduction, so yeah, we hope you enjoy the show. Happy Valentine's Day, and we will have a few other surprises, a couple skits you may or may not have heard.
All right, baby, Andre, my man. How are them butterflies spinning around in that belly welly of yours, waiting for them pretty ladies to get here?
Pretty butterflies. Excuse me, are you gentlemen ready to order?
Daddy, we're waiting for our dates to arrive.
I would like ribs.
Well, maybe get the big fella here a snack while we wait.
Well, of course, sir.
Oh, I'm so excited a hard-working man such as myself was able to put this date together.
I'm so excited. I just can't hold it.
Well, there's no hiding from the fabulous moolah. Oh, and they're fabulously old, Mae Young.
And here are your ribs, sir.
I want my baby.
All right, Dad, enough of this silliness. Here they come now.
Well, hello there, gentlemen. Are these seats taken?
Why, no, Fabulous Moolah, they certainly are not.
You're damn right they're not. And women get tired, especially after being slammed to the table off the stage by a camouflage-wearing crazy man.
Now, me, that was a long time ago.
And at my age, everything was a long time ago.
Well, Miss Young, you don't look for a day over 60.
Excuse me, what can I get everybody to drink?
How a sweet tea, baby!
What, Steve Weiser?
I would like a water, please.
I want something wet and strong so I can wrestle them Dudleys and make it back to me with a big boy here.
That's my kind of woman.
Hi, big fella. Look, if you made a good impression on this lady.
Excuse me, here are your drinks, and our drinks, sir. You're all ready to order, sirs and madams.
Oh, why, yes, sir. I like that sweet fried chicken with a side of squash.
And for you, sir?
Whatever, everything.
And how about for you, lovely ladies?
A salad, please.
I want a steak with a touch of brown and still moving.
A few minutes later...
Oh, Daddy, that dinner was delicious!
Yum, yum, yum.
That was absolutely exquisite.
I can feel that thing moving in my belly. It was brown to perfection, Moolah.
Well, me, sweet Mae Young, tell that big fella here something about your past. Let's get to know each other.
Well, there's not much to tell, other than the fact I once gave birth to a hand.
Check, please.
Welcome back to the Pro Wrestling Roundtable, and we are here with a wrestler interview. We're very excited about this. Jonathan, our interview guru, set this up for us, and so I'll let him start the interview. Jonathan?
Hey, so yeah, we're talking to... Diana Perrazzo, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes, you're good.
who, first of all, as Ring of Honor's Women of Honor tournament to crown their first women's champion is underway, and you were part of that, but I guess your match has not yet been televised. I don't know if you've actually wrestled your first match in the tournament yet. Have you?
Yeah. I have actually, this past weekend we did two shows, one in Concord, North Carolina, and then one in, Atlanta, Georgia. So I actually wrestled, my first round match against Holodead, to be aired on TV in a few weeks in Concord.
Oh, okay. I was at the Atlanta show. I live in the Atlanta area. So you came out and did commentary for the other women's match that night, which I guess will air in the next few weeks as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. You were named the Women of Honor Wrestler of the Year for 2017. Is that right?
I was, yes.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations on that. Do you know how that decision was made? Is there a voting process, or how did they decide that you were the Woman of the Year?
Ring of Honor had done a total year-end votes category, fan votes. So they put up a poll on the website for Male Wrestler of the Year, Women of Honor of the Year, Entrance of the Year, Match of the Year, and a few other categories. So I believe the contestants for Women of Honor of the Year were myself, Mandy Leon, Kelly Klein, maybe Brandi Rhodes. So basically fans went online, they voted for, you know, who they wanted to be the winner for each category. And then at the end of the year, votes were tallied for who had won each category.
Well, that is, considering who else was being considered for that, should be a great honor, no pun intended. We've actually had Kelly Klein on the show before, and then I'm pretty sure you wrestled her at another TV taping in Atlanta that I attended, and she's been a bit of a rival for you, hasn't she?
Yeah, a little thorn in my side.
Well, now that the, I don't know how much you want to reveal about the outcome of your match, but obviously this tournament is it going to play out until WrestleMania weekend at the Ring of Honor shows in New Orleans? Is that when the first women's champion will be crowned?
So the way they have it set up is there's two more first round matches that will be taped in Japan next week with Stardom. And then the quarterfinals, I believe that they are, will be taped sometime next month. And then the semifinals matches, the two of them, will be taped at Supercard of Honor, Festival of Honor during the day. The semifinals will be taped then. And it hasn't been announced, and honestly, I don't even know when the finals will be, but it will be sometime after April.
Oh, okay. So I noticed you have, it seems like a pretty distinct thing that I don't know if anybody else has done this, but within a few months, you wrestled for Ring of Honor, TNA, NXT, and appeared on WWE TV. I don't know if you ever actually wrestled at a Raw or SmackDown event, but and you're still, what, three years into your wrestling career? Is that right?
Actually been wrestling for about 5 years now, yeah.
Okay, but you're still relatively young and new. So how did that all come about? Because, you know, not long ago, you wouldn't have seen anybody appearing on different shows so close together.
Yeah, it's actually, there's like a theme of my career that everything happens last minute. So I had been at NXT and I was in the main event of the taping for, I think it was the number one contender for the women's championship, and it was a big battle royal. And afterwards I had just went to eat, and a friend from TNA had called me, David Lagana, and was like, oh, we need someone for whatever. Do you want to come wrestle at Impact tomorrow? So I had went and done that. And 2 weeks prior to all of this, I had been at Ring of Honor TV tapings in Philadelphia. So it just kind of, it wasn't a plan. It just kind of all happened together within, you know, the same 2 weeks. And then the same thing happened a few weeks later, where everything just lined up in a, you know, concession of the three shows. So I was actually fortunate to do that. Like, I believe it was three times in a row where I had wrestled, you know, Ring of Honor, NXT, and TNA all within like a 2 week time span, like two or three times. But it's really cool because you experience different things at each place, and each process is different, and each locker room is different, and expectations are different. So I really got to learn a lot really fast about each place and kind of adapt to each kind of style that was needed of me.
Right. So how did you decide, you have now signed a contract with Ring of Honor, correct?
Yes.
So how did you decide to commit to Ring of Honor rather than keeping that kind of freelance availability open in case other companies came calling again?
Well, so my contract with Ring of Honor is a non-exclusive contract. So I could work any independent dates anywhere in the world. I could go back to Stardom, but I just can't work for WWE or TNA. And I was kind of, I just felt like at this point in my career, I had done everything that NXT was going to offer me without offering me a contract. And I had done everything I could do at TNA without being offered a contract. So the good thing always about Women of Honor was that we were creating this, and every single time we as women stepped in the ring, history was being made. And I, much like Mandy and Kelly, had a very hands-on approach in the development of Women of Honor and getting us to this tournament and being on TV taping. So I just felt like Ring of Honor had really given me an opportunity to be the wrestler that I see myself as, and really put me at the forefront of something for once, where with NXT, I was very much so playing a role and doing a job that they had asked me to do. I never got to be Deonna Purrazzo. I never got to be the wrestler that I am. It was the wrestler that they needed me to be. And Ring of Honor really had always been the home that allowed me to grow and develop myself as I saw. So signing a contract at the beginning of the year, I really felt was like common sense and just something naturally that should happen.
Cool. Well, of course, we've seen the women's revolution, or evolution as they call it now, in WWE and TNA / Impact Wrestling has been, you know, following along with featuring women very prominently. And of course, Ring of Honor is about to crown the first women's champion. And I've been to a lot of independent shows lately where women are featured just as prominently as men. Why do you think this is all happening now? Why is this the time for this resurgence in women's wrestling?
I've said it a few times before. I don't even know if this whole women's movement had started in professional wrestling. I think the world seeing powerful women's athletes in all different sports really have a prominent role in pop culture and, you know, society as a whole. It really pushed for them to want to see women on TV in professional wrestling. So I think it was a natural progression from people like Ronda Rousey and what she did in the UFC. And then there's, you know, Venus Williams and all these amazing, powerful women's athletes all over the world. And people really wanted to see that in wrestling. And WWE took notice, and there, you know, there was a hashtag Give Divas a Chance. And, you know, it really just started from the fans wanting to see more and really wanting companies to invest. And, you know, then it trickles down. Once one does it, the other has to do it. And really everyone's benefited from this. Women's wrestling is at the forefront of professional wrestling, and we're getting so many opportunities that so many of us only dreamt possible, you know? So it's really cool to see and be a part of.
Definitely.
That's a great point with other sports. I mean, that's an excellent point, and I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a natural progression. Once one woman succeeds and another one succeeds, and, you know, we've all, you know, women empowering women and wanting to see progression and see, you know, change. So, I mean, it's an amazing thing that's happening right now.
You know, for me, like, I love the Olympics, and so the Winter Olympics are on right now, so that's very exciting for me. But, like, Kerry Walsh Jennings is one of my favorite. She's a beach volleyball player, and I think she's very strong as far as that role model for other women and other girls that see that.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, like WWE did a women's Royal Rumble, and, you know, women got to see a lot of their heroes, and Trish Stratus and Lita in this, and, you know, me growing up wanting to be a professional wrestler since I was 9 years old, I saw, you know, Trish and Lita, and that inspired me. And then the next thing that came was, you know, women getting 3-minute matches again, and women being in Playboy pillow fights and mud wrestling and stuff that was really degrading to women's wrestling and things that I thought women could be better than. So it was kind of up to, you know, this generation of women's wrestlers to take that lull in women's wrestling and be, you know, be the hero that you needed as a kid. So it, you know, it's really great to see women all over the place and not just in professional wrestling succeeding and being strong role models and being what we needed when we were kids.
Absolutely.
How much, I know you trained with Rip Rogers and some others earlier in your career, but how much mm-hmm. have you done with the Ring of Honor dojo? How much has that helped you along the way?
I've been to the dojo quite a bit. When I had first started working with Ring of Honor regularly, and they were trying to still build this women's division, I had went to the dojo at least once a week for months on end. And really just learning a different style and trying to mold myself to what the Ring of Honor fans cater to. I really got to learn a lot through head trainers. It's Delirious and, you know, Cheeseburger helps and Will Ferrara. And it was just a different style that I wasn't used to. But it really helped me to be able to see how to be successful with this different hybrid Ring of Honor style.
Are there any female trainers there or at any of the other places where you've trained?
No. so not at the Ring of Honor dojo. When I am at home, I train with Damian Adams, and it's just him and I that kind of do the training. When I am home, I do help out a little bit, but I've never had a female trainer. I've never really had, until recently, female trainees to train with. It was always just with the guys. So it's been really fun now to have Tasha Steeles and Karen Q to train alongside with and be able to have women around, because it's really since I started training, you know, 5 years ago, that I've only ever been around men in wrestling and trained with them.
Cool. Richard, you have any other questions?
Well, you had mentioned earlier about, you know, signing with Ring of Honor because they let you do the independent dates. And actually, that's what I kind of love about Ring of Honor. I live in Tennessee, so we get a lot of good shows. And like this weekend, the boys are going to be here at a local show. And I just really love the fact that you guys are still able to continue and do, you know, do other dates and let other people see y'all that Ring of Honor isn't coming to.
Yeah, I think it's good for everyone involved. I think, and everyone that has those non-exclusive contracts, because I could still grow and I could still develop, and I'm wrestling all over the world and I'm building my resume. So even though I am, you know, contracted to one place and I'm not allowed to work at these other big companies, I can still work everywhere else and still learn and still meet different people in the ring and adapt. And so overall, I think it also helps bring, you know, the better out in me, but bring new eyes to Ring of Honor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what I was going to say is, you're just saying that you wrestle with Ring of Honor, so it's just more promotion for them as well.
Right.
So this is, I'm kind of the action figure guy of the show. I love wrestling figures and stuff. And I know that, Figures Toy Company has the rights to Ring of Honor. So, I'm hoping for a women's line, sometime soon. And it would be very cool if, you, and I mean, I've watched your match with Kelly Klein. Kelly Klein's been a favorite of mine. But it would be very cool to see you guys having action figures and not have to be in WWE to have that.
Yeah, I mean, once we crown a champion, I think the sky's the limit for us in terms of, you know, what we can do on wrestling shows. But T-shirts and all different kinds of merchandise, I really think that Ring of Honor's really starting to invest more into what we do, and that would obviously be the next step.
And I love the fact that it doesn't feel rushed with the, I mean, I know Ring of Honor has been around a long time, but the Women of Honor, I've been watching Ring of Honor steadily for about the past 2 years, and it's just been getting better and better as far as the exposure and the Women of Honor matches during the Ring of Honor shows, even sometimes headlining the actual show. So I just feel like they've done it very smart and been respectful to the female wrestlers as well.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people wanted to rush it. And we're like, when do we get a championship? When do we get more matches? Once a week isn't enough. But I feel like it needed to be a natural progression. It needed to be built, and characters needed to be developed and invested in. And slowly but surely, we were able to do that. And now it's culminating in the first ever Women of Honor Championship. So it's been a really long 2.5 years, but it's definitely all been worth it.
Absolutely.
So do you have any upcoming independent appearances you'd like to mention to our listeners?
Yeah, I will be at Wrestle Circus in Austin, Texas this Saturday. And I will also be back in Jersey, which is great because that's my home, on the 24th for Jersey All Pro Wrestling. And then it's back with Ring of Honor at the beginning of March. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. So you can see all of the Ring of Honor dates at ROHWrestling.com. They've got a few events, three events in early March, and then of course Supercard of Honor in New Orleans, and several
Which is
shows
really shaping up to be huge.
Yeah, get tickets for that because they're nearly sold out.
Have you been involved with a Ring of Honor show during WrestleMania weekend yet?
Yeah, we taped 4 Women of Honor Wednesday matches last Supercard of Honor as like a pre-show. So I was around for that, but now we're doing this whole big Festival of Honor, and it's kind of going to run meet and greets and matches and photo opportunities and Q&As, and it's, you know, this whole day-long event. So I'm really excited to be a part of that this year.
Yeah, I went to, it seems like it wasn't that long ago, but when WrestleMania was in Atlanta, and then the following year in Miami, I went to as much stuff as I could, including Ring of Honor. And it's just such a crazy, it's grown to be about a week long now, if you count every WWE event and every independent event, Ring of Honor event. But there's just so much to choose from. But the Ring of Honor shows here in Atlanta were great. And I think they've probably just gotten better since then.
Absolutely. Yeah, this year's shaping up to be good. So I'm very excited to be there.
All right. Well, good luck in the tournament and good luck with everything else. And unless you have anything else, I think we got everything we could.
Yeah, I know it's very late where you are, and we really, really appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us for a little bit, okay, Deanna?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, gang, are you looking for another podcast to listen to? Well, you're in luck. The Nerdy Laser Podcast is available on iTunes and SoundCloud for your listening enjoyment. On the Nerdy Laser Podcast, we talk about everything from Saved by the Bell to Jean-Claude Van Damme. Nothing is off limits. If we like it, we're going to talk about it. So join myself, Richard Yule, with a variety of guests on the Nerdy Laser Podcast, available on SoundCloud and iTunes. Also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at Nerdy Laser. Thanks! Welcome back once again to the Pro Wrestling Roundtable, and it is time for the main subject of the evening. Like I said earlier, John is not able to join us, but it will be me and Jonathan just kind of talking and giving our thoughts on the women's state of wrestling, so to speak.
Oh, well, given the subject matter and kind of what's going on with the show, and considering that John isn't feeling well and won't be joining us, I found a guest co-host to replace John this week.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and bring him on. His name is Nigel Sherrod. I know him from various local promotions throughout Georgia and the Southeast. But he also does some work for Impact Wrestling, and appropriately enough, He has, I think he has held a women's championship or two throughout Georgia in different promotions, but he also now trains women wrestlers out on the West Coast. So welcome to the show, Nigel.
Thank you, Jonathan, for the introduction, and thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah,
and I've held, I think, I don't know, maybe five women's titles in between, like, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. my most notable run was with the Bambi. So,
and where was that?
That was, so we kind of did the Ted Allen / Mike Jackson circuit, you know, where they would run probably three or four spot shows a week, you know, at the particular time. And we'd be in for a lot of those. So we'd always run into, you know, anybody that you'd see on a spot show, like your Ricky Mortons or Tommy Riches, people like that, you know what I mean? And but having the feud with Bambi is really what catapulted me, and it was all kind of inspired by you know, Andy Kaufman and my love for Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler. So
right.
And so, you know, when we got together, it was one of those things where we'll try this and see how it goes, and it turned out to be really great.
So was that mostly in the West Georgia, Eastern Alabama area?
Yes, like I said, we did some shows in Tennessee, and I mean, we hit everywhere, you know, even some places that I didn't even know existed, you know, because essentially what I did was, you know, for a long time, like Bambi and Peggy Lee had a longstanding feud, you know, in the area. Well, really, you know, nationally and locally, because they did have some TV time, you know, at particular times in their careers and, you know, wrestling each other. But I just filled in once Peggy got injured and couldn't really wrestle anymore. I filled in, and the promoters liked it, and I got a really good education, you know, learning the ropes and wrestling quite a bit with Selena or Bambi. And we had a good run. The best one was at the Perks in Cedartown, the Perks building. Mm-hmm. And I mean, those were incredible audiences. It had a nice old school feel. You know, it was just there, and it was a good thing. You know, we were there when they were drawing good 1,500 people, you know, houses. So, you know, everybody was happy.
Yeah. So, for listeners who aren't from the area or familiar with that, this was a show that ran probably 8-9 years ago. In Cedartown, Georgia, which is kind of out in the, what is that, northwest Georgia?
Yeah, it's in near Rome, you know, kind of.
And they would, basically the formula was they would get one big name male and female wrestler, and it was a monthly show from what I remember. So they'd have like Kevin Nash and Madison Rayne and people, I think Madison Rayne was there, I remember. I went to two or three of those shows before they stopped doing them. But they would have huge crowds and all some, you know, some of the top local talent from throughout Georgia. They were really good shows, actually. And I think you had a match against Awesome Kong. Was it there or somewhere else?
Yes. I wrestled Awesome. Well, I had done Slammiversary pay-per-view with Awesome Kong. Like, they called me and said, and this is before I worked for them, you know, just behind the scenes or whatever.
Oh, that's right. You made some in-ring appearances before that.
Yeah. And it might have been, I think it was like 2008 or 2007. I can't remember. And but they called me and said, or somebody, Bill Barron's called and said, somebody, you might be getting a phone call or whatever. And I said, okay, great, cool. Terry Taylor called me and said, you're an Elvis impersonator, right? Side note, I was an Elvis impersonator when I was like 13, 14, 15. Anyway, and got on Jay Leno and all that kind of shit because of it. So anyway, and he said, well, you're an Elvis impersonator, you can bump, right? Yes. can you be in Memphis for a pay-per-view, Slammiversary, to wrestle Awesome Kong? Well, this is right in the middle of me and Bambi kind of doing our thing. So I was like, of course I can do it. And of course, because I'm a huge Elvis mark, and I'm a huge Jerry Lawler mark. And I've always wanted to wrestle in Memphis. And so, you know, it was cool. And so we did our thing there. And then we had a match in Cedartown, which was a lot of fun. And Two Tall Shorts, midget wrestler, was the referee. Originally, it was supposed to be Bambi, but she couldn't make it because of previous engagement, I believe, with WOW. So,
well, that's a nice segue into what you're doing now. You're training for, what is it? Was that Women of Wrestling?
Yeah, Women of Wrestling, based out of Los Angeles, and has been around since 2000. It was founded by David McLean, who was one of the co-founders of GLOW. You might have seen David as recently, like on, I think they did something on Ivory on Monday Night Raw, and showed a clip of David McLean, you know, with Ivory and all that deal from GLOW. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he created WOW in 2000. Fast forward to, they had a great, you know, deal with syndication, but television has changed and so on and so forth with distribution. And anyway, David brought it back probably about 3 or 4 years ago with Jeannie Buss, who owns the Lakers. She's the owner of WOW. And they brought it back a couple of years ago when I've been brought out along with Selena, a.k.a. Bambi, to be an assistant trainer. Of course, Bambi's the head trainer. And we've got a good group of girls coming up. So, in addition to the current WOW girls.
And is there a website for WOW?
Yeah, if you go to WOWE.com or on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff, it's WOW Superheroes. But I'm sure if you type in WOW Women of Wrestling or WOW Superheroes, however you slice it or dice it, I don't think there's any slashes or anything like that in between. I think it's all one word, WOW Superheroes, on those platforms. But that's how you reach it, and you can catch up on all the past episodes. It's a really unique type of formula in that WOW has a roster of girls that are kind of like the GLOW girls, in that you find them, you know, in Hollywood in a casting call, right? And then you train them to be wrestlers. But there's also pro girls, quote unquote, like Amber O'Neill, Santana Garrett, so on and so forth, that are, you know, that run the independent circuit, like Barbie Hayden. She goes by a different name, but she wrestles for WOW as well. So it's an interesting mixture for sure.
Yeah. I forgot to mention also that Nigel used to be a commentator for Deep South Wrestling back when it was a developmental territory for WWE, which I think is where I first saw you. But that's way in the past.
Yeah, for sure. No, I was like 17 and a half when I first started working there, which is cool, you know. And there was a lot of great talent. Like, if you look at who is in WWE now, The Miz was one of our first guys that got
he was the first champion, actually,
run.
Wasn't he?
That's correct. But he was also the first guy, I believe, from the Deep South roster to, you know, to make it to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he was cool, and it was cool to get to work with those guys, like the Majors brothers, Zack Ryder, great Kali, and MVP, and there's Luke
Kofi
Gallus.
Kingston.
I mean, there's just a whole Kofi. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole list of guys that came in, and girls. Michelle McCool came through there, and William Regal. I was just talking to Selena about this the other day, but William Regal used to come in there quite frequently. And it was cool, you know, and there was a lot of the local guys that would come in, and Paul Heyman was there, Bill DeMott, of course, Jody Hamilton. So there was just a lot of resources there for a 17, 18-year-old kid's mind to absorb. And it was cool. Yeah. They let me host the show, that they trusted me that much at that age. And, you know, it was a great experience. It's kind of like, you know, it was meant to be, because there were so many different things and how it all happened. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, Paul Heyman became a really good mentor for me. And had it not been for him getting fired, I think I probably would have had an opportunity, you know, higher up on the roster. But, you know, that's not the way the journey was supposed to go. So I'm still working towards different goals, but having a good time doing what I'm doing here in California, for sure.
Yeah. And you do various things for Impact Wrestling these days. Do you have a title there, or you just do whatever they ask you to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because I've played so many roles there that if you ask somebody, well, what does Nigel do? Well, what doesn't he do? You know what I mean? I've done everything. You know,
I saw you on screen not too long ago, I think, working security.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all of my work for them is at television, you know? So I don't go into the office every day and anything like that, because first of all, all that's been moved up to a Toronto area or somewhere around that area in Canada for the most part. I know some of the production offices are still in Nashville, but for the most part, all that's up there. So all the stuff that I do is at television, but like I said, I've done everything from going to get, you know, Billy Corgan, sushi and some sort of organic juice to, you know, being secure, running bump security, you know, on TV, or, well, if you keep watching, you'll see, but like, you know, an Elvis impersonator, you know, however many years ago that was, getting beat up by Awesome Kong. So, you know, there's just a lot of different roles that I fill, you know, also help with, production, you know, set up and tear down. And, there's just a whole lot of things that I do. To help with, you know, talent getting to where they need to be, things of that nature. Just kind of assisting, as I can for operations, you know, but there's just, like I said, I mean, when we're on the road, I also do merchandise you know, the VIP stuff with the fans, and that whole deal. So there's a lot of little different things, that I do.
Are you still wrestling at all, or are you doing just the training and the behind the scenes stuff now?
Well, kind of funny you'd mention that, because I'd kind of gotten okay with, you know, maybe not wrestling as much anymore, but as I've come out here to California and gotten in this nice sun, and it's sunny here every day. It never rains here. Jonathan, you and I live in Georgia, and when it snows there, everybody goes crazy. It's kind of like that when it rains out here, you know, and like nobody knows how to drive in it. It's funny, and or wants to drive in it, even if they do know how to drive it, you know. So it's been great getting back in ring shape. And of course, I started before, you know, we started practice, trying to get my body back to being in good shape. Or at least enough to withstand, you know, training and showing these new girls, you know, how and what to do. With obviously Bambi again at the helm. I'm just kind of the bump dummy with a glorified title. But you know what I mean. So it's really kind of, I think whenever I do come back to Georgia or that area, you know, whenever there's any breaks in between, I would like to get back in the ring. I've kind of quite enjoyed this. My ring condition is probably the best it's been in a long time. So
cool.
Because it has to be, you know, we're training girls all day.
Right.
You know, like, you can't not be in condition.
Yeah. Well, I think we should probably get back to the main subject of the show, which I guess is just women wrestling. But obviously, you've got a lot of. I'm sure you'll have a lot of unique input, considering your background and what you're doing currently.
Yeah, I appreciate you again. You guys having me on the show. I'm ready.
So, Richard, did you want to kind of help segue into the main subject?
Yeah, we started. We talked about the Royal Rumble last episode, and obviously the women had a huge part of that, having the first women's Royal Rumble, and it wasn't a shortened one. It wasn't even one that started the show off. It was the main event of the pay-per-view. And it was a full 30 women. I was kind of wondering myself how they were going to do it and in what order, and if they were going to push the Brock Kane and Braun to the main event. Were you guys surprised about the placement of the women's Royal Rumble, or what took place? Nigel, we can start with you.
Yeah, go ahead, Nigel.
Yeah, I was kind of startled by it, or not startled by it, but I was just kind of surprised by it, I guess would be a better way to say it. And it's funny because I've watched the pay-per-view with David McLean and with Selena Majors, a.k.a. Bambi. So their input as well was we all thought that it was going to be the main event, or we all thought that it was going to be up in the card. You know, like there was going to be a tag team title match or something in between the men and the women's Royal Rumble. But I was very surprised. But then that kind of gave away the fact that Ronda Rousey was there, and I was scared for the girls because that's a big spot to fill the main event and of the Royal Rumble.
I think it kind of helped that it made sense to me once the women's Royal Rumble started. I think the men's Royal Rumble told a better story overall. I think that they did a really good job with that. And the women's Royal Rumble, I didn't even think about past women coming back. I don't know why I didn't. I mean, I figured there'd be a couple of surprises, but there was probably half the Royal Rumble was probably surprises. I thought myself that Ronda Rousey would come in, but I didn't particularly like the way they brought her in. What did you feel about that, Jonathan?
Well, you know, it was all rumors as far as I knew. I didn't know for sure that she was going to be there, but I figured she would be in the Rumble. And I'm not, I don't know. I don't know. Because if she was in the Rumble and didn't win, then it kind of would have been a waste. But then if she did win, then, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of people might have been upset about it because there's 29 other women who kind of have earned the right to be the first women's Royal Rumble winner, and she just comes in her first match and wins. You know, I could see how that could upset some people. I did think she was very awkward when she came out. I haven't heard other people say that aside from you. I think you and I talked about it, but yeah. She seemed like she wasn't quite comfortable. Just the way she kind of moved robotically, and she came out and stopped and then started again and then stopped and then didn't say anything. And so I don't know. We'll see what happens with her. I'm guessing she will either have a match with Stephanie McMahon, since that kind of was established a couple of years ago, or whoever Asuka challenges, Ronda Rousey will challenge
awesome.
The other title. But there is a women's elimination chamber, right? And have they announced everybody that's in that?
I have not watched this week, but I don't feel like they have.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did announce on Raw that she is on the Raw roster. She signed with Raw.
Okay.
So I could see her maybe being in that match and possibly winning it. I'm not sure.
what I wanted to happen, or what I figured would happen, and maybe it's one of those things like Star Wars, where what we want to happen isn't necessarily the best way to go. But like I thought the best way for Ronda Rousey to come in, and I thought it would have been pretty cool, is like Stephanie enter the Royal Rumble, and then you bring in Ronda, and then somehow Stephanie gets Ronda out, so you can kind of save face as far as. You know, it's just like AJ. Like, AJ came into the Royal Rumble, but he didn't win.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't lose anything. But we'll see where it goes. I know John really liked it, and he really liked the fact that she was wearing Roddy Piper's jacket, which was given to her by the family, and the name,
yeah, apparently,
obviously.
That night, from what I've read, like, his son gave it to her backstage that night, I think.
Yeah, while the sentiment is amazing and great,
yeah,
the jacket kind of looked ridiculous, I thought.
Yeah, it was way too big for her.
Yes, yes. Nigel, what did you think about Ronda Rousey and that whole thing?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you that I thought that's maybe how they would use her if she was there. I don't, in other words, Stephanie McMahon would eliminate her via some, you know, BS.
Yeah.
That would see them square up, you know, at WrestleMania. That makes the most sense, but I don't know, maybe they're trying to protect that whole,
yep.
if you remember when Brock Lesnar, and they still really treat him that way, as a big fight feel, and I don't know, you know, maybe they thought, we don't want to spoil that on a Rumble surprise when we've already got, you know, as you said, about half the roster on the Rumble were returns, you know, and one night only deals, but you know what I mean? Which was cool.
Yeah.
And added a little different flavor to it because the men's Royal Rumble was definitely missing that this year. So they waited to do that for the women's, and that was cool. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. I thought that's the way they would have gone, but I think that might be why they didn't do that. They want to present her at WrestleMania, her first match, and that be the big drawing thing. How is she going to do? And in that sense, it makes sense. But I thought she was really awkward, and the viewing party that I was watching with, that was the general consensus, is that it was awkward, it was ridiculous, and she should have never come down the ramp. She should have just pointed at the sign, and every question could have been answered in coming weeks.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, and part of the reason she might not be in the Rumble, I mean, you know, there's a huge amount of pressure on her, and I mean, there's a lot to live up to. So you might want to burn that at WrestleMania if it doesn't work out, and not burn it at Royal Rumble and put all your eggs in that basket. I mean, I'm not saying she's bad or going to be bad or whatever, but you don't know. She's you know, MMA is much different. Ask CM Punk.
Well, know. I mean, she's had her CM Punk moment already in MMA. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying that crossover, she might be great at wrestling. She might be amazing, yeah. But she might not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know she's a fan.
Yes.
And, I mean, I think a lot of the better wrestlers have amateur wrestling or some sort of fighting background.
Sure.
You know, I think it's a good basis to build on. And so, I don't know. I think she'll do well. Remains to be seen. I mean, there's other, plenty of other crossovers. A good example is one that I saw at the NXT shows here in Atlanta that I went to, Shayna Baszler, who was an MMA fighter who's now dominating the women's division of NXT, even though she didn't win the title at NXT TakeOver. I could see her coming up maybe the night after WrestleMania, coming up on Raw and challenging Ronda Rousey or something like that. You know, that's, she's an example of someone who has crossed over and is doing well in wrestling.
Does she do the Aces gimmick or like the
spades?
Yeah, I saw her at a house show recently too. She was good.
Yeah, she does this thing where she puts her opponents, when they're down on the mat, she puts their hand flat where the elbow is sticking straight up, and then she stomps on the elbow.
and it looks brutal. And it, you know, it appears to, it's put a few people out, and that's why Ember Moon was wearing the bandage around her arm.
Gotcha.
In the robe. But I'd like to mention also, and maybe Nigel, I don't know if you've been around for the last few Impact tapings, but a former Pro Wrestling Roundtable guest has finally made her TV debut. Kiera Hogan, who trained at WWA4, which has sort of morphed into face-to-face wrestling here locally. I think she still trains there when she's available, but she made her debut in Impact a couple weeks ago on TV, defeating the Knockouts champion in a non-title match. So it's good to see her. You know, we talked about it when we had her on a few months ago, and it's good to see her finally on TV.
Yeah, she did a great job. I felt like she got over well with the crowd there. And
yeah.
As you know, with that Orlando crowd, I mean, you know, they've got NXT, and then they've got Impact that's been there for the past however many years, 13 years, maybe 13 or 14 years. So they've seen everything. So if you get over with that Orlando crowd, it's kind of like going up north to Philadelphia or Chicago or something like that, you know, then that means that you're doing something pretty decent. And she did a really great job. I was really proud, you know, for representing Georgia like that.
Yeah.
And like you said, she got the big win, which I thought was cool. You know, a good way to use Chelsea Green on the way out, or Laurel Van Ness, you know, whatever. A good way to utilize her. And she, you know, she was happy to do it, I think.
Yeah. Well, of course, the following week's episode, Kiera got a title match as a result of her win, but then did not win the title.
Right.
So we will see, and I don't know if you want to spoil anything, but we will see in the coming weeks how that all plays out, of course. But that reminds me also of I've been to a lot of shows lately where women have been a very big part of the show. I think that's just the way it is now. I went to two of the recent NXT tapings, and the Ring of Honor I saw one of the women's tournament matches for the first women's champion there just last weekend. And then, of course, I went to a face-to-face wrestling show. Kiera was not there, but there was. She does still train there, and I think she helps with training. But one of the trainers there is Jazz, which is pretty impressive. But yeah, I mean, this.
Yeah, that's
and then,
awesome.
Of course, and then Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment has an event coming up on March 11th where Tennille Dashwood will be doing a meet and greet and then wrestling. I don't know who her opponent's going to be. It'd be cool if it's Kiera Hogan, because that's Kiera's sort of home promotion. But yeah, so women are everywhere, from the independents all the way up to WWE. They're, you know, they're finally getting their opportunity to shine again.
And Nigel, I understand that you can't stay with us for the rest of the program, but any final thoughts on women and any of your favorites you want to mention on your way out?
Yeah, sure. And I'll give you a quick little something about when I first broke in. I would call these professional wrestlers. I'd gotten their phone numbers. And one of them happened to be the Fabulous Moolah. And anyway, I befriended the Fabulous Moolah and, of course, the great Mae Young. And got to be friends with them and so on and so forth. It, you know, it became more than just a phone call kind of thing, and got to learn from them a little bit whenever I first broke in. But John, Jonathan, you were saying that, you know, the women are getting a chance to shine, and I'm certainly glad to see it, because I've always been a fan of women's wrestling because Moolah was so helpful and all that when I was first getting in. And so I always kind of had a great respect for women's wrestling because I learned the history of girl wrestling and how hard it was. And so I just hope that people like Judy Martin and Joyce Grable and Donna Crescentello and some of the even the midget girl wrestlers who probably had it even tougher than it all, like Darlin Dagmar and Diamond Lil. I hope that the WWE at some point embraces that those women paved the way, you know, for what we have now, and starts to honor them as part of the movement. You know, I hope that it's not just something that's convenient and in style. I hope that, you know, that the education gets out there, because that's an amazing story and a whole different conversation in and of itself.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah, again, thanks for having me on, guys, and I'll be glad to come on any other time and join you.
Do you have any social media outlets or a website or anything you'd like to point people to, maybe for the promotions you work for or just your personal ones?
Yeah, WWE.com for all the WOW information, of course. ImpactWrestling.com for all that good stuff. Also, I'm not booking because I'm out in California right now for NCW, but that's my home place. So they're on Facebook under NCW. I think it's just National Championship Wrestling. And then my personal stuff is just NigelSheeran.com. You can go to that and it'll get you where you need to go. So,
okay. And National Championship Wrestling is where Anarchy, I know there's a lot of different promotions running out of that building now, right?
Well, there are, because Rick has alternating Fridays and Saturdays. So on some of the weekends where there's Friday shows, they are rented out by the promotions. Wildcat, AWE, One Fall Wrestling. It really kind of that really started happening last year. We had a girls group, ironically enough, from UGA that wanted to come up because they saw GLOW and it's very popular now, and they wanted to train. And I believe the girls had some shows as part of like some art installations or something like that at the UGA Art Center. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about Wildside and Anarchy and NCW a few times on the show. It's gone through different phases, but is there a promotion called Anarchy as well right now, or is it just NCW again?
No. So Anarchy is, I couldn't tell you the alternate, but anyway, it's either the first or third or second or fourth. I think it's the first and third for the Friday shows and the second and fourth for Anarchy shows, if I'm not mistaken. But National Championship Wrestling runs on Fridays every other week, and Anarchy does every other week. And then, like I said, whenever it's available, a lot of places have been renting it out. And it's actually not a bad idea. Actually, I think it's a great idea, if you want me to be honest, because a lot of times people run shows in that building. They rent it out because we have four cameras back there with an optional fifth on the floor and stuff like that. And, even though there's a lot of duct tape and paper clips, that have put that place together, and it's an old building, it really is a good center to go and do a TV type product or TV type show.
Yeah, and so. It's just got a lot of history.
You're right. It's your modern day, historical venue for pro wrestling. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah.
For Georgia.
Right. All right. Cool. Well, thanks again for being on, and good luck with the training and everything else.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Do you want more of the Pro Wrestling Roundtable? Be sure to check out the ProWrestlingRoundtable.com. Follow us on Twitter at PodcastPWR. email us at info@theprowrestlingroundtable.com. To get early access to interviews and exclusive podcasts, go to pwrchampionship.com. Join in on the Roundtable community by becoming a member of our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/ESOPro. You can now support Earth Station 1 by purchasing a t-shirt over at TeePublic by visiting teepublic.com/user/ESOPodcast. All these links can be found in the show notes. Now, back to the Roundtable.
So with Nigel finally gone, we can kind of talk about some of our current wrestlers, female wrestlers that we like, and other things that we would like to see happen. So I know, Jonathan, you see a lot of other live events, and so what are your opinion on some of the current stars in the female wrestling world?
I've seen a lot of impressive females lately. You know, we have one on this show, actually. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have people like Brandi Rhodes, who my understanding is one of the reasons she and Cody left WWE was because she wasn't getting the opportunities she wanted there. And so, obviously, she is getting those kind of opportunities in Ring of Honor now.
Yeah.
I would guess that she's in the tournament. I know they've shown the bracket on TV, but
I believe she is.
I haven't really seen a lot of her in the ring yet, but at least she's getting the opportunity that she's looking for. Of course, as we mentioned earlier, Kelly Klein, former guest, Kiera Hogan, another former guest, making it big. Or, you know, showing that what they can do on the bigger stages in Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling. I'm trying to think of who else has kind of stood out. I've always been a fan of Sumi Sakai, who is a Japanese wrestler she's a little older now.
Is she the pirate girl?
No. Oh, okay. But she's awesome too.
I love her.
Yeah, I had never seen her because I didn't see the Mae Young Classic. But I understand she was in that. And so I'd never seen her prior to the Women's Royal Rumble. But as soon as she came out, I was just like, yep, this is a good one.
Yeah.
No, Sumi Sakai is an older female wrestler.
I think saw her at Ring of Honor when we were when I came down last year, and because I had never seen her before, but I could tell like the crowd respected her greatly.
Yeah, so she's part of this Women of Honor tournament as well, and I would like to see her go far in it. Trying to think. Well, honestly, there's not a lot to say. A lot of people would say there's not a lot of positive things to say about Impact these days, but I think the Knockouts division is one of the better parts of the show. I think Rosemary's awesome.
Yep.
Taya Valkyrie, who I guess maybe she's injured. I haven't seen her on TV in a while, but she's apparently she came from Mexico. She's got like a Viking gimmick.
Yeah. I think I wanted to talk about couples in this later on, and maybe we can do that later. I feel like she's dating John Morrison, but I might be wrong.
Oh, I could see that because they did. I think they did come in around the same time, and he was wrestling in Mexico, so I could see how that might be the case.
Do you know who Chelsea Green, Laurel Von Ness, is dating?
Well, isn't she married to I'm blanking on his name right now, but the guy that was dating Allie, like the whole feud. Like, he actually is married to Laurel Van Ness, isn't that right?
Well, I...
That's Sutter.
As far as I'm aware, according to their social media, she's dating Zack Ryder.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I got that backwards.
So
I know Braxton Sutter
was dating one of them, but on TV he was dating the other one or something.
I got you.
But a perfect example of Impact doing weird stuff.
I didn't like Laurel Van, not whatever her name is, Chelsea Green, at first, but she's grown on me a lot. She's definitely a character.
So Nigel mentioned that. I wasn't aware. Has she left the company, basically?
It sounds like that might be true, but I have not heard that. I don't know if that's breaking, but I have not seen that anywhere. I meant to kind of look it up, but yeah. Knowing that Zack Ryder, she's dating Zack Ryder, maybe she'll get a chance in NXT or whatever.
Yeah, possibly. And of course, Johnny Gargano's wife, Candice LeRae, who has been a big name independently for a while.
World's cutest tag team with Joey Ryan.
Yeah. So, of course, she is now part of NXT. So.
Yep. And she, the NXT event I was at, she headlined it with Johnny against Andrade and his valet, or his female wrestler. Well, I don't know her name.
Yeah, I can't think of it at the moment. But so how was she as a wrestler? She's great as a valet.
Andrade's?
Yeah.
She was good. It seemed like they protected her a little bit, but she did the things that she needed to do, you know, as a heel. So she was good. I mean, I have seen Candice LeRae before, and she's very talented. And she's very experienced. So, you know, with her in the ring. And they did this cool thing where they both, I guess it's the finishing move. I don't know if Johnny has a finishing move of a submission, but they both did the submission on the other one, and that's how it ended. So it was a cool match.
Cool. I forgot about that. You also went to an NXT non-televised show just a few days after the last two TV tapings here in Atlanta. So, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. It was I would say there was probably about 3,000 people. I would say, if I'm just throwing a number out, I know the venue holds 5,000 to 7,000, I think, and it was pretty full. I was pretty surprised, actually, because they don't really promote it as WWE. I mean, they promote it as NXT, and I mean, of course, the mainstream audience doesn't recognize any of the names. So it was interesting to see a good crowd there. Everybody was into it. I didn't feel like there were the jerky fans that like ruined the show. It was just like fans that enhanced the show, sort of. Have you noticed the trend of live wrestling? I've noticed it a few times where, you know, a wrestler will pin somebody and they'll go 1, 2, and then they'll kick out, but then the other people will say 2 in the crowd, and then somebody else will say sweet.
Oh yeah.
It could be irritating, but for a live non-televised show, it was very much fun to partake in that.
Yeah.
And it does seem that Laurel Van Ness has been granted her release from Impact as of January 15th.
Well, she is still the champion on TV for probably another at least two episodes. So
another 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I don't know why this might be a little off subject, but it seems like Ring of Honor and NXT record 3 or 4 episodes in one night. So you get basically a month's worth of TV tapings. So obviously people can spoil the results if they want to, and they do. People that attend, you know, post the results. And so you know what's going to happen a month before it happens sometimes. But for some reason, Ring of Honor is able to do it and still not look bushly.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Impact, it's like they're always, you know, taping stuff, and then by the time you see it, these people are no longer in the company. Or there was a female actually, and I can't remember her name at the moment, but she's like, she looks Native American or something, and she's been on the last few episodes of Impact, and I read online that she already like parted ways with the company. So, and it's a thing with Rosemary, like she's been attacking Rosemary and stuff. So it's a big angle that has already, you know, concluded basically, because this lady was in the company, it sounds like, basically for one night of tapings.
I mean, spoilers if you care about Impact and haven't been on social media in the past month, but I mean, Austin Aries won the title probably a month ago, and I think it finally airs tomorrow night.
No, it aired last week.
It aired last week? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but,
so that's even funnier because
they
don't...
Tell, somehow you could tell that these episodes were recorded in December. I forget why. I think there's just like people in the audience wearing Christmas stuff maybe or something like
funny.
That. So, I mean, they, you know, maybe they record farther in advance than Ring of Honor. I don't know. And I enjoy watching Impact. I'm not trying to, you know, talk bad about them, but it just seems like every time they have something good going, something gets screwed up, but yet they still are there.
they keep plugging away. I mean, I give them credit. I don't know how they do it sometimes, but yeah, and yeah. So one of my favorite, yeah. So NXT in Knoxville was great. I think it was a great showing. I think they will be more likely to come back. I mean, usually, as far as I'm aware, NXT usually does smaller venues, like 1,000 to 2,000 people. But Knoxville does not have that option. But WWE loves to come to Knoxville. I mean, not for a major show, but they love to travel through Knoxville. They do a couple Monday Night Raws or SmackDown. We've never had a pay-per-view in Knoxville, which really saddens me. And I've never been to a WWE pay-per-view, so that is on my list of things to do. But unfortunately, I have to drive 3 to 4 hours to get to one because it's either in Nashville or Atlanta. I mean, I still kick myself for not coming to WrestleMania. It was even before we had this podcast, but back in, I guess it was 2013 or so.
It's been a while. It's kind of, it feels weird when I look at the year on it. I'm like, is that long ago?
Yeah, because I remember... I was losing my job, and so that's one of the reasons I didn't go, even though I could have went, because I hadn't quite lost it yet as of that point. But anyway, hopefully that'll be on my list of things to do sometime soon. And so it was interesting to see. They were pretty heavy in the women. I mean, NXT has a women's ring announcer, and they also had a tag match with women, and then, you know, a headlining match of co-women. So, I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, maybe people don't think it is, but that's a... And it's not a Divas match. I mean, it was really good wrestling. And that's something, you know, that I really appreciate now.
I think I saw at least 3 or 4 women's matches at both of the NXT TV tapings that I went to.
Oh, and Ember Moon fought. I forgot. Ember Moon defended her belt against a Knoxville native. What was her name? I think it was Bianca Belair. I think's her name.
With the long pony, the long braid.
Yes.
Yeah, she's good.
So she's from Knoxville, apparently. They made a big deal about that. And her family was front row. You know, there was like 10 or 15 people. So that was cool. And the braid is interesting. I'm surprised that hasn't happened before, but I can see it gets in the way of wrestling too. So it's interesting that they let her have that. I mean, it's long. I mean, she uses it as a whip at one point.
Yeah, it's almost as long as she is tall.
Yeah. Yeah,
And I'm sure that will be used against her at some point. I haven't seen it happen yet.
No, but I liked her. She was cool.
Well, I think Becky Lynch, I know, is one of John's favorites. I like her a lot as well.
Yep.
Just going back to the main roster.
Yeah, Ember Moon is probably my favorite wrestler right now on NXT, and she was. She was in the Royal Rumble the next night after her title defense. So she'll probably be pulled up to the roster. I'm looking at probably after WrestleMania for her to be pulled up.
Yeah, I could see that. Or I wonder if they'll ever do an NXT match at WrestleMania, like an NXT title match or something. I know they do the takeovers and stuff, but, you know, they involve it in NXT and the Royal Rumble, so I could see one day they might have a match or two of NXT on the big show.
It's possible. It would be interesting. I think if we ever do see it, it would probably start off as a pre-show thing.
Yeah,
because WrestleMania is like 7 hours long. So I mean, and then it might move up from there, or they may just, the takeovers are basically their. I wish they had another name. I wish they would make an NXT-style WrestleMania. You know, like, just give it a different name.
Instead of calling all of them TakeOver whatever city they're in.
Yes, yeah.
They could have TakeOver be the WrestleMania, and then all the other ones have a different name or something.
Yeah. Yes. Quite honestly, I think the whole thing took them by surprise when they first started doing the takeover. I mean, when WWE Network started, I mean, they just did a takeover event, and then people started to care because the NXT show had been around on Hulu and other things for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I mean, when that first takeover event, a lot of eyes came on to the NXT, but which is good because now they are a great place for the women to wrestle. And Becky Lynch, yes, that's one of John's favorites. Asuka, I know you and John really like Asuka, and I'm warming up to her.
I like her okay. I appreciate the action figure you sent me for Christmas, but yes. I think she's intriguing, but I want to see more of her against somebody like Tamina and I'm not a huge fan of what's her name?
Nia Jax. I'm not a big fan of Nia Jax, but I appreciate that she's there, if that makes any sense.
And I know they have crossed paths recently, but, you know, I want to see Asuka against somebody that you don't think she can beat, you know, like Awesome Kong would be awesome, or Karma, I guess, is what they call her. I guess I'm somewhere in between you and John when it comes to Asuka. I don't dislike her, but she's not my favorite female wrestler. Trying to think of
figure is cool.
It looks, you know, some of the female ones especially, they just don't get the likeness right.
Oh, and I'm she not looks just place. Like her.
Yeah.
And Ember Moon's figure is awesome as well and going to be impossible to find, I think.
Is that a Target exclusive?
I think it's in the TakeOver line, so yes. The TakeOver line is Target exclusive. In the Hall of Fame line.
Yeah.
So...
let's see. I'm also a big fan of, well, I like Alicia Fox a lot. I like Tamina a lot. I think Tamina's very underrated. But I really like Dana Brooke. Especially like now that she's with Titus Worldwide doing the, what was her name that was in the Dangerous Alliance?
Oh, people are, John's screaming at us right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Well, we talked about it, I think, back when we did our other series of women's shows. Yes. I brought up her name. It's not Missy Hyatt, is it?
No.
The one that she got
Terry
married to
Runnels,
Goldust,
isn't it? Yeah, it's Terry yeah. Runnels. I can't remember her actual name in WCW, but I'm sure people hate us right now for not knowing this, but but that's okay. That's what Google's for. Yeah, I mean, in the past, we've talked about women in the past, and they, you know, I mean, there are so many, and we did a three-part episode last year, so feel free to look at that in the archives if y'all are interested in more women talk. So that's why this was kind of more of a, you know, updated, just of the Women Royal Rumble and kind of blended NXT in with it, but we don't talk a lot about current stuff. Some by design and some not. We just like having a variety of things to talk about. But with WrestleMania season coming up, and in fact, we did predictions last time, so I remember. I think we all kind of tied because me and you picked Asuka, right?
Uh huh.
And then John, I think, picked Shinsuke. So I think we all got one right. I think he picked Nakamura to win. And I picked Finn Balor. Who'd you pick?
I feel like I also said Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Well, I think I did who I want to win and who I think will win, but... Oh. I don't remember.
Yeah, I meant to listen to it, but yeah, we were pretty much all kind of right. I enjoyed the Rumble, so I think it's been pretty good the past few years. And the Women's Royal Rumble is interesting, and I like the fact that they're doing the women's Elimination Chamber, which I'm looking forward to because I think it'll be more maybe storyline based and wrestling based, whereas the Women's Royal Rumble was kind of, you know, like here's Michelle McCool and here's Molly Holly.
Yeah,
which was great. I mean, I liked seeing them, but so yeah. What are you looking for? Do you ever see a... I mean, I'm sure it's going to happen. I don't know when, but... So let's do this, because I know it's going to happen. So when do you think a women's match will headline WrestleMania? In the next 5 years?
I want to say yes, just because of the momentum that women's wrestling has at the moment. I feel like it needs to happen sooner than later.
Well,
you know, they
kind
of need.
If Ronda Rousey is a success this year, it could be as soon as next year.
Yeah, I could see that.
If Ronda Rousey is successful and gets media attention, it could be for the title next year.
I think it partially, sadly, kind of depends on who the male champions are, though.
True. I mean, Brock is bound to lose it.
Yeah, I think as long as he's the champion, he's going to be the main event. And next in line, I think maybe be AJ. Like if he holds one of the titles. And Brock's out of the picture or isn't a champion, then I think AJ would headline. But, you know, I kind of feel bad saying that because that kind of implies that they are more important than the women. Yeah. But I don't know. I just think because of their popularity,
that's just how it's going to be.
Before we, I agree. I think in the next 5 years it'll definitely happen, but if that momentum disappears, then so will that chance. But right now they're just on a roll. So hopefully it will happen. I'd love to see it. But I think it's going to take a Ronda Rousey-type match to really build that up.
Yeah,
against somebody really special. And I don't know who that someone could be.
I feel like it might also have to be somebody that is not currently on the roster.
True. It could be. Or a past somebody that...
That's what I mean. Either a big name from the past or... another mainstream crossover like Ronda Rousey.
If they protected her and made her a bigger deal, and I know she's a champion right now, so she's a huge deal, but Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, if Ronda does, turn out to be as good of a wrestler as she is an MMA fighter, that they could really build that. They could really, really build that. Or if you want to go Michelle McCool. If you say Charlotte Flair, the mainstream people know who that is.
Yeah, and so, she has definitely established herself the dominant women's champion.
Mm-hmm. And she's a great heel. I could see that next year. I would love to see that. If you keep the belt on Charlotte, if you keep the belt on Charlotte till next WrestleMania, that'd be huge for Ron. That would be your marquee match, I feel.
Yeah, especially if they were able to both rack up like an undefeated streak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or something. And then they're on different shows currently, so you could have a title versus title thing almost.
Yeah. I want to mention this, too, because I think Nathan Hamilton mentioned it when we talked to him, and I was embarrassed afterwards because I didn't know who she was, but I love her. It's Sarah Logan, and I guess she used to be, or she was in Death Matches is who he was. That's who he was talking about. And Sarah Logan is one of my favorites right now in the main roster. Very weird, and I love that she's in the group she's in, but it seems a little odd, but I do enjoy her. So
I think both of those groups are a little mismatched, which works oddly.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm talking about, Absolution and the Riot Squad, like they seem like three women who probably wouldn't hang out together, but for some reason they are.
Yeah,
it's like. So you got like a cheerleader, and they're both kind of the same. You got like the hot blonde, the goth girl, and then Sarah Logan's just this weird sort of hick.
Yes, yeah.
Who is the other one in the?
You would ask me that. I can't remember.
Well, anyway, they're odd trios.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Which I can definitely see imploding. In the near future, but for now they seem to be getting along really well.
Yep. All right, so any final thoughts as we wrap up here?
Well, I mentioned Tennille Dashwood earlier. I should have clarified that she is formerly known as Emma.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned she's going to be in Atlanta for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment on March 11th, and I believe she's going to be in your area too, right?
I don't know. Not close, I don't think. Not in Knoxville, anyway. I wish she was. I was hoping that she was. But as of right now, the answer is no for the upcoming events that I know about. But I could see by this summer that changing. And because I think she just started wrestling again because that lockdown they put on them.
Yeah.
I think she just got free from that. So.
I know she is in the... Women of Honor tournament, which you will be seeing her on TV in the next few weeks. That's not a spoiler because they have already shown the bracket.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought that was weird that she got released, especially
just before the Women's Royal Rumble.
I don't know what happened with that. I don't know why she got released. I've not ever heard any rumors of why. I thought she's fantastic.
And they did that whole Emelina build-up, which I actually thought was great, because she just came out and was not Emelina. She just was Emma again.
Yeah.
But they built that up for months. I don't know if you remember.
I remember seeing her, and then one day it was just gone. She was just gone.
Well, they were doing, I think she was injured, and they were doing little vignettes every week on Raw. And, like, she had changed her image, and there, it was like Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue type photography, and just her on the beach in bikinis and stuff like that. And then she came out and immediately threw all that out the window and just was like the Emma that she had been before, where she was wearing like darker lipstick and the little gloves and the sunglasses.
I love that though. I mean, that is the Emma that I liked.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I did like the goofy Emma before that too.
Yeah, well, when she was on NXT, I loved her.
Yeah.
I really liked her on NXT, and so, yeah. And, I mean, I can't believe, I mean, we're wrapping up here, but we haven't mentioned Bayley or really Sasha Banks or anything, but obviously we talked about those last time around, so don't yell at us too much at the whatever machine you're listening to us on. But Bayley is one of my favorites.
Yeah, they're great, and we've talked about them numerous times, even on shows that weren't about women's wrestling.
Sure.
And they obviously it looks like there may be build up for a WrestleMania match between the two of them. It seems like they're hinting at it. So that would be.
I just feel like Bayley's lost so much steam, and they don't know what to do with her, as most NXT people. And I don't know if she'll, by the end of the year, she'll still be with WWE. We'll see. But I'm hearing a lot of things.
If not, she'll probably do really well somewhere like Ring of Honor.
Oh, absolutely. She'll do even better.
Yeah.
Because she loves the business. I mean, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
The Fully Posable podcast guys just posted his daughter got to meet her, and he, on his various accounts, posted the video and stuff, and Bayley was just so awesome to this little girl. Like, so it was good to see that.
Yeah, I think she's very genuine. Like, what you see is what you get with her.
Absolutely. Well, I guess that does it for the show, and hopefully next time around John will be back with us. It's possible he may not, but we're rooting for you, buddy. So come on back and join us, and Jonathan, you got anything final to say?
Promote
anything?
No, I don't think so. You can look up any of those shows I mentioned on Facebook, or I'm sure if you just Google the names of the promotions, you'll find them. But I'll be talking more about that on upcoming episodes. I'd like to get some of these people on the show, so hopefully we can do that.
Yep. All right, well, we appreciate y'all listening, and until next time, we'll see you back in the ring.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.